Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
जलसा फिजी रेडियो और मैं हूँ प्रोग्राम डायरेक्टर विनेश. हमेशा की तरह हम आपके लिए लाए हैं कुछ मस्त सॉन्ग्स, कुछ जानकारी और बहुत सारी बातें. दोस्तों सदीप को स्वागत करते हैं जलसा फिजी रेडियो के लाइव ब्रॉडकास्ट में. मैं हूं प्रोग्राम डायरेक्टर विनेश और ये हमारा 705th एपिसोड है ऑन प्लेन से मीडिया फ्रीक्वेंसी 96.9. और हमेशा की तरह साहिल हैज जॉइन्ड अस ऑन पैनलिंग और इस बार भी हमारे पास एक गेस्ट है जो ऑलरेडी आ चुका है हमारे स्टूडियो में नान. उससे भी हम बात करते चलेंगे. हम पहले क्या करेंगे इस जैसे हम नॉर्मली करते हैं, एक सॉन्ग साहिल के पास है एंड दिस द बेस्ट सॉन्ग दैट ही इज सिलेक्टेड फॉर द डे, वो हमें सुनाएंगे और उसके बाद में देन वी आर गोइंग to have this interview with Nana, जिसमें हम काफी कुछ आपको बतलाने वाले हैं. We are pretty excited because this is the first time that we are going to hear something about Vietnam. हम like we have had other guests before. हमने आपको remember होगा कि इससे पहले हमने लुलू से बात किया था. We talked about China और उससे पहले हमने कश्मीर जो पार्ट ऑफ नज़दीक है पाकिस्तान के बॉर्डर, वी टॉक्ड अबाउट दैट. और भी हमने जो काफ़ी अलग अलग लोगों से बात किया है फ्रॉम ज़्यादा करके हमारे जो भारत के दोस्त आते रहते हैं, वी कीप ऑन टॉकिंग अबाउट दैट. लेकिन आज काफ़ी डिफरेंट रहेगा बिकॉज क्योंकि वी आर गोइंग टू टॉक अबाउट वियतनाम. जी हाँ, लेकिन उससे पहले जो सॉन्ग साहिल है सिलेक्टेड, मे बी आई एम नॉट श्योर, आई एम जस्ट गेसिंग, मे बी इट माइट रिलेट टू द फीफा वर्ल्ड कप, बट नेवर नो क्या साहिल हमें सुनाने वाला है. बट ऑन फीफा इट्सेल्फ साहिल विल अपडेट अस, स्पेशली जो गेम आज न्यूजीलैंड के हुआ था विद बेल्जियम. हाउ डिड दैट गो?
विल टॉक आफ्टर द सॉन्ग.
आफ्टर सॉन्ग आप बात करना चाहते हो? ओके ठीक है, आफ्टर द सॉन्ग देन साहिल विल लेट अस नो अबाउट दैट पर्टिकुलर गेम. लेकिन फीफा का तो फीफा चल रहा है एंड वी विल ट्राई टू शेयर क्विकली अ लिटिल बिट अबाउट दैट एंड देन वी विल प्रोसीड विद आवर इंटरव्यू. तो साहिल, यू वांट टू प्ले द सॉन्ग नाउ? Jalsa Fiji Radio, Jalsa Talent Series and Jalsa Business Series would like to express their gratitude to the following sponsors. Generation Homes, contact them for your building requirements. And Lifestyle Solutions, contact Richard Sevak if you need help with insurance. And contact Varun Jani of Next Step Accountants and Business Advisors for accounting needs. And contact Rohit Sajadeva of Better Choice Home Loans for your financing needs. And contact NZ Flames Baba at Wairaki Road for your hairdressing requirements. And contact T. Nandan of GoWise Driving School if you need driving lessons. And contact Anshul Gupta of Klein Real Estate, who can assist you with achieving a better sale for your property. And contact Monil Pratap of Majestic Stays if you are looking for accommodation in the city. And contact Danny from On The Go Eastgate for all mechanical requirements. जी हाँ दोस्तों, सत्य आपको पुनः स्वागत करते हैं जलसा फिजी रेडियो के 705th एपिसोड में. मैं हूँ विनेश प्रकाश, प्रोग्राम डायरेक्टर फॉर जलसा फिजी रेडियो. और जैसे हमने शुरू में मेंशन किया है, साहिल इज गोइंग टू हेल्प अस विद पैनलिंग टुडे. और हम धन्यवाद देना चाहेंगे विवेक को जो ही इज गोइंग टू हेल्प अस विद वीडियोग्राफी टुडे. जो लोग हमें फेसबुक में ज्वाइन हो रहे हैं उसको भी हम स्वागत करना चाहेंगे अपने इस प्रोग्राम में. और जो लोग अभी अगर हमारे साथ में ज्वाइन हो रहे हैं, देन आपको बता दें कि वी हैव गॉट नान हु इज गोइंग टू बी आवर गेस्ट फॉर टुडे फॉर दिस एपिसोड. एंड from now I will be switching to English so that we can communicate with Nan. And it's very fascinating, quite interesting. We are pretty excited because today we are going to talk about Vietnam, and it is a new kind of a topic for us. We have never talked about that in our interviews, so it's pretty exciting. So we would like to welcome Nan to the program. Thank you so much, Nan, for coming today make yourself available for the interview. So we will just start off with a simple question. What have you been up to today?
What have I been up to today? We've started off with my two boys. They play soccer in the mornings for Nomads, and that was a pretty chilly start. No one turned the heater on. It was freezing out there. My youngest one, he's passionate about soccer, whereas my oldest, he plays because he kind of has parents in the background that push him along a little bit, and hubby's coaching his team. And then we've just been laying low this afternoon, and here I am.
I see. And talking about soccer, we have soccer, the World Cup FIFA, that's happening as well. So yes. That's pretty exciting as well. Yes. And that's true. It's quite strange. Like when we came to New Zealand, like we are from Fiji, and when we came over here, and then we realized actually soccer is a winter sport. So, so it doesn't really make that much sense to us, but it is what it is. Because in the summertime, then people, I think, switch to cricket and rugby and other things. But soccer is meant to be played during winter. And sometimes it can become a bit frosty, but the games are not usually cancelled. Even you keep on playing, and feeling sorry for the boys, but I guess that's the way to harden up, because when you go to the higher level, especially if you are playing for your team in FIFA, then yes, you have to be quite tough. And talking about that, let's find out how tough all whites have been during this World Cup. Sahil is going to tell us about that.
That's a very, 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 I don't know how you want to take it. It's 5-1 Belgium.
I think I'll take it in a way that we did pretty well. Belgium is quite a high-ranked team.
Yeah, it's, I think, 10th rank in the world, FIFA ranking there. But, first game, New Zealand started well, drawer.
Definitely.
And then they lost, and then they lost by a lot.
But New Zealand has been unbeaten for quite some time, so this year things have changed.
Technically, this is only the second World Cup they've played. So first World Cup, South Africa, they were unbeaten, but they didn't win a game.
They didn't win, yeah.
This World Cup, they had draw and then lost.
They
and
lost
then
two
lost
games.
Again,
yes.
With a bigger margin. So Egypt and Belgium are through. And
is it Iran?
Iran, I don't think they have enough points to go through. It's, I think, only 8 teams with best third place they will go through.
So most likely Iran and New Zealand is definitely saying goodbye.
Iran has also said goodbye as well. I think they're on 2 or 3 points. They don't have enough to go through.
So from that particular pool, so we can safely say Egypt and Belgium are through.
Yep. And then there are a lot of other teams who are through. And then there are other teams who are doing really well, like low teams you wouldn't expect them to do well.
Exactly. This is more like hitting above their belt.
Belt, yes.
Because many, many teams are doing wonders and beating teams like Germany. So that's the World Cup we are having this time, which is very similar when we look at Sevens Rugby or even Super Rugby. Things do happen, and sometimes you have these shocks as well, which I think is interesting and quite nice.
It's really good to see different teams winning each time.
Mm. Mm.
And it makes the competition interesting. If same team keeps on winning, there's nothing new.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about you? Are you following FIFA?
I can't say I'm following it as passionately as the boys in my household. Every morning before school, TV's on watching football. Normally that's a no-go, TV in the morning before school. Mm. The boys love it. So I'm kind of in the background, just taking it all in. Yeah.
That's quite nice. And then going on the soccer grounds as a supporting mum.
Yes.
So you should be quite versed with the soccer now. You'd be knowing all the rules. Though we are going to talk about Vietnam, my guess is it's your parents who are originally from Vietnam.
Yes. So mum's Vietnamese. She's born in Vietnam. My dad's Chinese, but he grew up in Vietnam. That's where they met. Mum and Dad had my two older brothers in Vietnam, and they actually fled the war in the 70s, part of the boat people that people were quite familiar with, refugees. So they did that harrowing journey from Vietnam for about 3 months and ended up in Australia.
Okay.
Thought they were going to settle in Australia. Mm. Then there was talk of a country called New Zealand, who majority of the boat were like, what is New Zealand? Mm. There's another place out there. Mm. And so they continued on that journey on that boat and ended up in Ashburton.
Yep.
And that was where I was born with my younger brother.
So they kind of liked Ashburton and settled in?
Yes. The reason why Ashburton was the place they settled was because, I don't know if they still do it now, but for refugee families to settle, they need a sponsor family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a family in Ashburton that were willing to sponsor my parents and my brothers to settle them in Ashburton, and that's...
Mm-hmm. So how many brothers or how many other siblings you have?
I have three siblings. Mm. My eldest brother has passed away, so I have two remaining siblings and myself. Yeah.
I see. So looking at culture, just because you're kind of born, kind of Kiwi, but then you have this Vietnamese in the background.
Yes.
So what about culture? Like, how do you keep up? Like, are you more like a Kiwi person, or you still strongly hold on to the Vietnamese values?
When I was growing up at school, I would like to say that I held on to the Kiwi side quite strongly. Mm. I don't know if that was society or... Mm. Myself, I'm not sure why, but I kind of regret it a little bit because the older that I've gotten and the more accepting we've become, I have really taken on to the Vietnamese side, especially with my two boys. I really want them to keep that culture going in my family. My husband's Kiwi, so, you know, we kind of lose half of that already because the other half isn't the same culture. I mean... For instance, my language, I can speak Vietnamese fluently.
Yes.
When I was growing up at home, that's how I learnt Vietnamese, was listening to mum and dad speak. Mm. They didn't speak English. Mm. It wasn't until us kids went to preschool, school, that's where we learnt English. And so that's the side that I know that my boys are missing out on because hubby and I, we don't have that conversation in Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
But leaning in on mum and my brothers when we're around, I'm very aware of keeping that language going in front of my boys. Mm. They can understand what we're talking about, not necessarily convey what they are trying to say. And then that's when broken English comes through.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So when you get upset with your hubby or something, which language do you start speaking?
English.
Do you switch to Vietnamese or you stick on English?
English when it's you know, me.
Yep.
But when my boys are around, sometimes a little bit of Vietnamese comes out.
Mm.
And so you... be safe to say that my boys probably know
when you are upset.
They know where they stand when I'm speaking in Vietnamese.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite usual. I think it happens to many families. Yeah, we switch to English. And the other thing, I think when we start drinking or something and suddenly we start speaking in English. And then the next day we say, why were we speaking English? So language changes, and it's beautiful. I think that's the beauty of language,
yes.
And especially when someone can speak other languages.
Yes.
And I agree with you. It is sometimes something we don't appreciate that much, mm-hmm. but later in life then we do. But
yes.
It may be a bit difficult. We have lost a bit by then.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, that's quite interesting. And going back to Vietnam, so when was the last time you visited Vietnam?
Oh, it would have been about 15 years ago. Maybe 11 years ago. It was not for happy times. Mm. It was for my brother's cremation, essentially. So that was the last time we were there. And my eldest and myself were there for some time. Mm. In Vietnamese culture, when someone passes, it's a lot different to what... Mm.
Kiwis do it.
It's mm-hmm. complete polar opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, over there, you're pretty much forced into spending 50 mm-hmm. days, 100 days mm-hmm. mourning this person that's passed
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you the opportunity to grieve,
mm-hmm.
grieve properly.
Yeah.
You're with your family. Yeah. You're doing all these traditions that are meant to happen when someone passes to ensure that that spirit is transitioned in the best way possible. Mm. So that was the last time we were in Vietnam. And I was saying earlier how it's changed a lot. I mean, so much. Social media, the first time my husband and I visited Vietnam together, it was very much still a war-torn country. I mean, you'd be riding down the road and there'd be half-blown up buildings there still. They would still talk about mines being in the ground,
mm.
where you can play and where you can't play. That was very real. And in that, Vietnam was held back a lot. Because we'd been to Singapore, we'd been to Hong Kong, we'd seen the bright lights and the tall buildings and the motorways, and everything was just so much more advanced than Vietnam. But now, on social media...
It's getting advanced.
It's there.
But I think the farmers, they're still finding bombs and other stuff in
the
field.
Yes.
They still do.
Very much so. Mm. My auntie, she would have been, I think she might have been 10 or 11, and they were playing football again in a dirt paddock, just kicking the ball around. Mm. And she managed to kick through a little wee mine. And,
yep.
Her half of her shin was gone.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. But, I mean, pretty cool story. She lived to tell it.
Yeah.
But when people were like, wow, what happened to your leg?
Yes.
No, I kicked a mine. It's like... That was just the reality when they were growing up in that kind of environment.
Yes, and there could have been some booby traps as well left by...
Yes, they're still... If you're going to jungle and mountains and stuff, you'll still find it.
Yeah. And if you've visited the Coochie Tunnels...
Yes.
Mm. I've been inside them as well.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
It makes you realise, like, the whole tunnel is probably less than this table side.
Mm. Yes.
And you have to actually squeeze through.
Yes.
Yep. Actually, when I was wondering what we were going to talk about Vietnam, so I tried to Google try to find something. But every time I did something, it just kept on talking about wars. That was fought in Vietnam. So I was thinking maybe...
Because I mean,
we'll end up talking about that.
Yeah, because the war in Vietnam was one of the big ones.
Yes.
And one
of the difficult ones where the opposing defense force or army, they actually felt it. It was so difficult for them as well. They couldn't just come, wipe it up and win.
It was pretty much North Vietnam versus South Vietnam.
Yep.
And other countries were sort of involved.
Mm.
And the worst part is they still feel it and still get it is effects of... I think Agent Orange,
yes.
is it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Americans, they sprayed a chemical over Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll still, like, when kids are born, they still carry that in their genes and they are, I don't know, how do you say it? They are still...
Handicapped?
Disabilities are there for that, yes. So when you go around Vietnam, you'll definitely know. Like, they're still coming... out of the war effects of the war.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite sad because it's something that it's hard to get over it because obviously as time goes, phases after phases, then you try to get going and leave the past behind. But if the situation is like that, like if mines are still there and from time to time you find some bomb or something that may still be active.
Yes.
So I think it's a hard to...
Get
over it, I guess. It is just there and it might continue. And we'll see what happens. Just quickly changing the topic, what about geography? Because I heard that it's quite different from south versus north. They have different kind of a climate.
Yes, I've never been right up to the top. But up the top in Hanoi, snow, freezing cold.
It's like four seasons.
Yes. Yeah. So let's put it this way. It's New Zealand upside down.
Yes. That's a brilliant way of it.
It's New Zealand upside down. So you know how you go further north in New Zealand, it's more warm. You go further south, you go, it's colder.
Yes.
You turn New Zealand upside down.
Okay.
And that's there.
That's exactly what that is, yeah.
I see. Because I thought I would be saying more like New Zealand on top and Fiji at the bottom, because I think four seasons are on top, but only two seasons at the bottom, just like Fiji.
No, I think they have it because I think bottom of Vietnam is close to the equator, and north is sort of a bit more closer to the, I think, the mountains and stuff. So you get that winter up there, like
but,
white
but
winter.
But not in the south.
No. South is sort of
warmer.
Yeah. And it's closer to the ocean. Yes. Yeah.
And I think south in that case would be more like coastline.
A whole of Vietnam is coastal.
Oh, coastal. Yeah. No, okay, because it ends that way.
Yeah, so it's like on the side of the edge.
And I think it has quite a decent coastline.
Yes. It's beautiful coastline.
Yeah. So there should be lots of fish markets out there.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, the markets, the food. Oh.
They have a floating village there as well. So in, I think, Mekong River?
Yes.
In there, so people are actually living in boats. So the house is actually made of floating. It's floating.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's actual stilts. No amazing engineering or anything. It's
exactly.
just like these solid bits of wood.
Because I was watching a documentary. I'm not sure whether it was Vietnam. It could have been. Yeah. But I saw that the children, you know, they would just dive into the river anytime they feel like.
Yes.
So like us, like when we're in Fiji, we just go outside and play most of the time. So a mom would say, go outside and play.
Yes.
So over there, it was more like, go in the river.
Go in the river, it's more not so privileged playing. So it's more go make the most of what you can find out there.
But I think they must be adapted because from the day they're born, that's what they see. Yeah.
That's all they know. When it rains over there, I'm not sure what it's like in Fiji, but the monsoon rain.
Yes.
They talk about the monsoon rain when it rains, seeing the kids out there in the rain. You know, playing, bathing, having fun.
I think it's probably the same in Fiji as
similar,
well.
Just because we are warmer, so when we have rain, we have a rain bath.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can go and have that rain bath. And most, like, our culture, as we watch Bollywood movies, so we see a lot of rain bath where actors and dance. When we're kids, then we will kind of do what we do in the rain. But obviously, we can't do the same thing in New Zealand.
No, it's freezing here when it rains.
it's totally opposite. Over there, we enjoy it. And for some reason, the rain in when I was in primary school, so the rain will wait until it's like school time. So it's 3 p.m. That's when it starts raining.
Yeah,
and that's the time when we are going home.
Yes.
So we'll have this rain bath while going home, and we'd enjoy the whole way. We'll play.
The water. The best part about that was no homework. Yes, we had to leave our books in school, others will get wet.
So just take yourself.
And
we didn't have any kind of umbrella or anything.
No.
We loved getting wet.
Yeah, because it's not cold, right?
Exactly. And if we get a chance, we'll just buy an ice block or something, and then you have that combination.
Yes.
So those were the school days, but obviously you were born in Ashburton, so you will have a different story to tell.
Yeah.
But back in Vietnam, the kids will have a different story.
Yes.
But how about schooling? How does, at what level, or how do you regard education back in Vietnam? Would you have any idea?
It's getting stronger.
Yep.
They hold English very high regards.
Yep.
I mean, when we were there, the cousins, they'd all want just to sit and just practice their English with us. Their schooling over there, they take it very seriously. The kids would wake up at 7:30, get to school for 8, finish at 4, come home, have a little bit of a rest, have a meal, and if your family was well off enough to enable this, you would go back to school for a couple more hours after dinner.
I see.
And if you could do that, people would be like, wow, your family is on the right path, you know. Education's key over there. They see education as upper class. And if you have to work, that's not really where you want to be. So education over there, they're very I wouldn't say militant, that's strict.
Mm. No, many countries, that even back in Fiji, education was taken quite seriously. So yes. We would be kind of, our parents will keep an eye that we are studying.
Yes.
And I mean, we were lucky in our days, we didn't have social media or access. So all we had was like one family TV.
Yeah.
So it was easy to control, but they just had to rely that we are, our eyes would be open, but they had to realize that we were actually studying, not just like looking at the book. So,
but in saying that, I think we were lucky because we only had one channel, and there was hardly anything good on it.
Mostly
news, and there were a few other programs.
Oh yeah,
and it was more of it wasn't like for kids.
Yes.
So, even if you were watching it, you wouldn't like understand or get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of the programs, they were even not worth watching at that time.
No.
I think
TV actually came in Fiji recently.
That was what I was going to say, that Sahil is talking about TV when it was introduced. He's more like talking about his days.
Yes.
But going even back, we didn't have TV to start with.
No.
So we only had radio. But the other thing then was we would want to read like comics, as you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And even comics were not very much appreciated in my time.
No.
So it wasn't same as education.
Yeah.
I would love to read storybooks or something, and then you had to go to library. So it was kind of, I think that applies to that generation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Vietnam, are they like advanced perhaps as we are, like technology? Because I know we have a lot of Indian friends, so we keep on talking to them from time to time. We see kind of movies.
Yeah.
So what we know is, like India is flooded with phones.
Yes.
They actually manufacture phones, so everybody would have phones. It doesn't matter at what level you are, but you are definitely going to have. And same thing in Fiji. The mobile phones are everywhere.
Yes.
Every household would have a phone regardless of where they stand in the community.
Yeah.
What about Vietnam? Is it same?
I'd say it's probably more advanced than New Zealand, just because of
the cost.
Asian. I mean, we're always going to be a step ahead. There will be that minority that are still very poor, that don't have that privilege or those luxuries.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can see,
majority
have streaks ahead.
It's floating everywhere, social media. And
I think it's like every country where you have high and then you have low as well. So
I mean, you know, you're talking about the people living out over the water.
Mm.
There will still be people living out over that water.
I think I heard a story, or I read somewhere, or was watching a documentary, and there are people who actually haven't been off the water because shops are on the water, school is on the water, everything is in the water.
Yeah.
They haven't actually stepped foot on the land.
No.
Mm. And I saw a movie that was more like a futuristic, like, movie.
Yeah.
Predicting the future, what would be. So I think maybe the movie's name was Water, maybe. So what would happen if the water will start rising and the ground or the earth kind of would be kind of covered with water.
Yeah.
So I think those people would be quite lucky at that time because they'll know exactly how to live, whereas we'll be struggling.
That's right. Just put the stilts up
higher. And when we talk about Vietnam, I'm guessing it's much, much larger than New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And lots of people.
Yes, lots of motorbikes.
Yes.
Everyone's on a Honda or a Nova. Like, you know, when we were first there, we were like, we want to be able to afford a scooter like that, you know, to have your mum, your dad, your siblings, the chickens, the pig, like that is real in Vietnam.
So you show off your pigs.
Yeah. The whole family's on there. They can carry so much on a two-wheeler.
Yeah.
And so many people. There's no traffic rules, no lights. It's whoever's horn's the loudest gets the right of way.
And it's absolutely if you're crossing the road, you just cross and they'll just go side by side.
Yes.
They won't stop.
They won't stop.
Even at crossing as well.
I see. So if you go to Vietnam, then you have to make sure that you are fully insured.
Yes. Make sure your Crocs are in sports mode so you don't lose that halfway across the road because they're not stopping for you.
Wow. That's quite fascinating. And I'm guessing we are talking about cities, like the busy and bustling cities. But at the same time, I'm guessing as you go interior, it should be kind of quiet villages.
It does calm down.
Yeah.
Even in Ho Chi Minh, in the city, it's just mental. But as you go out further, the further you go out with the districts, then you start, you know, following little paths instead of roads.
Mm.
They become little paths in between a neighbour's front door and another, the opposite neighbour's front door that might be 3 metres away from each other.
Yep.
And you're navigating the the motorbikes through these little paths to get to wherever you need to. Yeah. And that's pretty amazing in itself.
The good thing about that is you'll get to see like the original Vietnam.
Yes, the real Vietnam stuff. And then I'm guessing when you go over there, they're going to find their own food, like from the nature. Are they still doing that? Is it they still have dairy shops over there?
There's probably a lot more convenience now. There has to be. That's just the way the world's going. Their food is just so much fresher. They grow it when you go out towards the farms. I mean, the rice paddy fields.
The rice is number one over there, I guess.
And their food is just fresh. It's not so heavy. It's good food. I miss the food.
What about sports? Like, what do Vietnamese good at in any particular sports?
What would they have been good at?
They're good at soccer. They play soccer. I don't think they play rugby there.
No, I haven't seen any rugby there.
No, or cricket. I think it's mainly indoor sports and I think athletics and soccer.
I see. Yeah, that's quite interesting. So when are you going back?
I'd like to say tomorrow, but no, not anytime soon. I'd like to take the entire family back. Mum, she's still got siblings over there. We've talked about just flying in up north and then getting on your Hondas. I don't know if you guys watched that Top Gear episode where they went from the top and they just rode all the way down. Yep. That would be our dream, is for my family, my mum and my brothers, to go and do that. As our youngest one gets older, that'll be a lot easier. And then eventually get down. So hopefully maybe in the next 5 years or so. It'd be nice.
And what about the Vietnamese community over here? Are you kind of part of the community, or do you?
Not really. I haven't gone out seeking for it. I have stumbled into a couple of Vietnamese families who the community is quite strong. Mum in Ashburton has a couple of families that came through on the boats with her that she still keeps in touch with. But here, fish and chip shops. I mean, we've gone to our local and I've sat there waiting for our order, and I'm overhearing the people in the back. They're talking Vietnamese. I'm like, this is probably about right. And so, you know.
Do you want us to make an ad about you looking for...
I've been invited to a lot of Vietnamese communities, and it's quite funny because it's a running joke at home. I shy away from things like that. I don't know why, but my husband's always like, you need to embrace it because, you know, they're there and they're happy to have you there and they love it when you walk in. And, you know, when my husband walks in to get the fish and chips and he throws out the gam mung, which is thank you in Vietnamese, they just love it. They just think, oh, my gosh, you know, we've got someone else in the community that's our culture and we want this to be bigger. And so there's definitely a community out there.
There's a decent number.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Vietnamese restaurants, they're just getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. Banh mi's, I think they're just taking over Christchurch at the moment. I just see it more and more everywhere I go. When we were growing up, there was just Chinese fish and chips. And that was probably the extent of it. But now, you know, there's just such a variety out there, and it's good to see that the Vietnamese...
We are actually noticing that as well, Vietnamese, and then, of course, we have, like, Thai, and then Chinese has always been there, but for us, it has always been, like, Chinese.
Yes.
But now we are realizing, we are actually... we can't miss it. Yes. It's out there that we are having those other restaurants, and, of course, we have got this flood of Indian restaurants as well, but it's quite nice to have that kind of community, and of course Christchurch is growing. And when I say Christchurch, I think I would be saying Canterbury, because it's all growing, and I'm sure we won't leave Ashburton behind. I'm sure people are going to Ashburton as well, though I think it's just like something about Christchurch.
Once
you're here, you just are here. You don't want to leave, though it gets a bit cold.
It does. Well, I mean, I was in Ashburton until I finished high school, and as soon as I could, I was out of there. I was here. Majority of my friends were already here. Christchurch was where we needed to be. When you finish school, you move to Christchurch because it was uni, polytech. You go flatting, you do all the good stuff here. I mean, going down south was never on our radars.
I don't think Ashburton has a casino. Do they have a casino?
I have no idea, but... probably in the last probably 10 years, they have actually developed quite a lot in Ashburton. Before it wasn't that much.
Mm. Yeah.
So only two developed places in South Island was either Dunedin or Christchurch.
Christchurch, yeah.
So because I had no idea. I didn't even realize that a casino was only kind of here in certain places, not everywhere. Yeah. I just assumed that you'll find casino in every kind of city.
Oh, okay.
I think they have it in like pubs and stuff.
Pubs
they
and
have
stuff,
machines there.
Playing, but not a formal...
Not an actual casino.
Yeah, official kind of a casino, which is... I thought that was the culture.
Mm. Anyway, even Invergil has developed quite a lot. Mm. Big time.
Mm. It is. And in some, of course, cities have overdeveloped, like Queenstown. So they, I think they should... think about stopping because
I think they need to think about now their infrastructure.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Because big time, they don't have like traffic jams up big time.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. So,
there's the story about New Zealand, but when we compare that with Vietnam, then they would laugh at us.
I was just about to say that.
What have we got to complain about?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like last time we were saying that when we got back, it was like empty city here, like empty dead place.
Yeah.
The same thing if you come back from Vietnam.
For them, it's empty. It's kind of... And over here, I'm just complaining, oh, the light hasn't turned, so I'm kind of 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
Compared to yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and when I look at the traffic, I think that there's a little bit more cars, so I'm, it's going to slow me by 2 minutes,
yes.
or 3 minutes. But people in Auckland, I think they are more kind of experienced in this way, so they are more used to the traffic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Christchurch is growing, which is good. I mean, as a whole, Canterbury is growing, and we are kind of spreading now, which is excellent, and we are embracing more and more kind of cultures.
Yes.
They are all coming over. And now, like, when we talk about Vietnam, so it's your mom who is originally from Vietnam and then your dad was from China.
Yes, I'm not sure what part of China dad was from.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he moved to Vietnam when he was 14.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he pretty much just left because he was over his family.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Vietnam and then met mum, and then mum's family took him under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they ended up together.
Mm-hmm.
And then us beautiful children came into the picture.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you're more like taken over the Vietnamese culture rather than kind of Chinese in your household?
Definitely more Vietnamese. I mean, Dad, he did speak a little bit of Cantonese and probably like my son, my boys, I know probably the not so good stuff in the Cantonese. So the discipline and the daily, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that. And why are you saying this? That was all in Cantonese. But the Vietnamese is so much more stronger. Dad, growing up in Vietnam, I mean.
And in Vietnam, like, do you follow a particular religion? Or is it kind of religious or is it like just like cultural tradition, traditional stuff?
Well, more for my family, we're Buddhists.
Yep.
So that's who we follow. And it's pretty strong. I do go back to that a lot when things in life, like when we moved to New Zealand, we were growing up, when mum was here with dad, they explored a lot of different faiths. So they explored Jehovah's, they explored, you know, all the different ones that they could possibly do that in Ashburton just to learn a little bit more.
Yes.
But it always comes back to Buddhism.
Yep. I see. And when we talk about our culture, like if we talk about us Indians, then the number one festival that will come to our mind, which kind of says it all, like that's how we are kind of recognized, is Diwali.
Yes.
So, you know, Diwali, that's when, you know, you'll get some goodies from Rajnita and then you'll have all the sweets and stuff. And then you'll try to know their names and they, of course, they wear sari and stuff like that. What in Vietnamese, do you have any of that kind of festivals?
It would be actually called the Chinese New Year.
Okay.
We call it Dut. In Vietnam, it's Dut, which is New Year. It's just been called Chinese New Year, though.
Yep.
And that's when the lemons and the red lucky envelopes come out and fireworks, which I don't think they're allowed to have fireworks.
So you also have red envelopes. I love red envelopes. I would just want to receive those red envelopes.
We might be able to organise that for you. Yeah, the red envelopes.
Yep.
And just that goodwill and everyone's happy and that's the time to start again. It's fresh. It's new, very similar to you guys.
So you invite people to your home?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. do you?
It goes for like a week. Yeah. It's like
a massive week-long celebration. Because if you invite someone at your home, then of course you have to go back to that person's home as well.
Absolutely.
But do you have like what we have over here? Like it's more like celebrated in a park or somewhere? Or is it like just going home to home?
No, it's more home.
More home, yeah.
Yeah, it's
I think that's how Diwali is celebrated back in Fiji.
That's what I was going to say. Same as Fiji or India. Mm-hmm. Where
you have your own prayer and then, of course, you invite your family and your friends. And that is when you would expect your son to bring their children in. That's when you meet your
grandchildren. You should be surprised like how many people, they don't know what Christmas is. They don't celebrate Christmas.
In Vietnam, not really.
No.
They do because it's commercialized.
Mm. Yeah, it's more for Western tourists, actual.
They don't actually celebrate it.
They don't,
okay.
No public holiday, no nothing. It's just another day at work.
That is the thing, that Fiji is quite different in that sense, because in Fiji, we kind of celebrate anything that we hear.
Yeah.
Because of social media as well, it's growing. Actually, they're picking on more festivals. Mm-hmm. So just give them a reason and they'll celebrate. So either it's Christmas or like Rihanna, they celebrate Eid.
Yes.
So in Fiji, we'll just celebrate that. We'll go to our Muslim friends.
We just need a reason for holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Reason for holiday.
Mm. Yeah.
So it is definitely quite different. So Sahil, how much time do we have, or should we?
We have about another 10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So we still have 10 minutes, Anand. So any other thing you want to share with us before we ask you more questions?
You can ask questions away.
Yeah, so going back to your family, of course, you have two boys?
Two boys, yeah.
Yes. And so they are kind of managing similar way Kiwi, or they are more like Kiwis than Vietnamese?
More Kiwis. Yeah. In the boys' group of friends, we've only got one other child that's Vietnamese. But diverse cultures in my boys' lives, more so than what I had when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. The boys are more Kiwi. I would love for them to be more Vietnamese, and I'm trying. I'm very well aware of it. But, you know, we can only do what we can do, because when they go to school, it's all English, isn't it?
And about yourself, when you were kind of growing up, were you, like, in our culture, like, while we were growing, because I was the only kind of son, say, brother, and I, like, three sisters.
Yes.
My youngest sister was quite young, so it was more like my older sisters.
Yes.
So they were expected to learn the cooking, and of course they were the recipes were passed on, like grandmom to my mom, and my mom had this job of passing to her.
Yeah.
Is it similar in your culture?
Not really.
Yeah.
I was talking the other day to a friend about our cooking at home.
Yeah.
Dad was the better cook than mom, and mom, when she cooks, she just tries to like fuse everything. So she'll make a lasagna, but it'll be spicy. So it's kind of like she's tried to do the Vietnamese Kiwi.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, everything that she tries to do that's Kiwi, it'll have like a Vietnamese
spice.
Yeah, at home, my husband will say, you know, have you gigs that up? That means my nickname's Gigs.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be asking, you know, is that like an authentic meal, or have you kind of put your spin on it?
Infusion.
Yeah. So there's no recipes that she'll pass down.
Mm-hmm.
And mum cooking, she doesn't have a recipe book.
Mm.
She'll wing it.
Yeah.
So she'll make something. Mm. And
if it turns out good, it turns out good. If it's not, then...
Yeah. And if you ask, oh, mum, that was so good, how did you do that? She'll go, oh, it was just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yeah. There's no measurements. There's no specific anything. Mm. She's just winging it.
Mm.
And if it turns out good, it turns out good. So that's how mum cooks.
Yeah. It's quite funny how it happens, because it is kind of a generation-to-generation passing of recipes.
Yeah.
And some, they just learn on the way. When I was growing up, because I was the third, so I came a bit later into my kind of mum's life.
Yes.
And when I was watching her, she was still kind of learning. So, like, in the village we live, so someone will tell her, oh, you make this one that way, she'll learn how to bake cakes, things like that. Our baking was different. We didn't have oven, so you go the traditional way.
Yeah.
So she'll learn how to do that or do certain things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had radio, so there was a segment where recipes are kind of given out.
Yeah.
And then she'll write in her language, like Hindi. She'll write in Hindi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she didn't know how to write in English, but she knew how to write in read Hindi, so she will write in our language.
Yeah.
And she'll kind of do that. And when our time came, I don't think it really passed to me, but I did learn a few things from her.
Yes.
And she loved, like, when I said to mom that, I want to cook this, and she was overjoyed. So she gladly showed me how. And then, of course, you learn as you go.
You do.
And then we got married, and Rajinita too, she actually learned as we went along.
Yeah,
so it's quite different, but in some families, it's kind of more like passing over. But today we must stick to Vietnam, so we have to go back and talk more about Vietnam.
Sure.
So with Vietnamese food, so what would be their food? I know rice is there, so let's stick that off.
It's more like noodle soup.
Yep.
We call it...
Is it more like seafood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Mm. It's more about the broth. It's more about the salt and pepper. It's more about time. So when you have a noodle soup, that soup has probably been brewing for about 18 hours.
Mm.
And, you know, they'll be peeling out that soup and you'll be eating, and they'll get to the bottom of the pot.
Mm.
They won't get rid of it. They'll add some more ingredients into it and get that pot to the top again and keep it going. So it's more about...
Mm.
quality of cooking, whereas here...
I think it's method of cooking, isn't it?
Mm.
The way they cook.
Yeah, it's just a bit more wholesome.
Mm.
That's what I found, like, with the Asian countries, you go from country to country, food is similar. It's the method of cooking, I think, that's the different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think Fiji too, when we used to have like open fire cooking, it was very different. The charcoal, the smell, the texture, and everything was different.
Yes.
And of course, we had like raw from the farm.
Yeah.
It was all fresh. I just go to the market over here. By the time we have our ingredients, it comes from somewhere, frozen, and it takes what, 18 hours? But over here, it might take a few months for the ingredient to reach.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's quite different. And what I wanted to ask is... forgot to remember what I was just talking about.
One thing I'll say is, if you want to become a millionaire, go to Vietnam.
Yes.
Why?
I was a millionaire for a week. So at any given time, you'll have like $1 billion plus in your pocket.
Yes, this is brilliant. I remember
You know that one of my neighbors, he was a plumber over here.
Yeah.
But his main job was something different, he told me. So he went to Vietnam. See, he sold his house over here, and he went to Vietnam. I said, why Vietnam? He said... Over there, 1 year, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to travel, relax, learn their culture. Oh, his main profession was teaching.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was a teacher, but then he switched to plumbing.
Yeah.
And because over here, he kind of, with plumbing, he got more money out of it, and he knew how to plumb, so he just got a certificate and did that. But then when the time came, he sold his home over here, and then he went to Vietnam.
Wow.
And he said he's going to do nothing for 1 year.
Yeah.
He's just going to relax, eat, learn the culture, and do whatever he wanted to do, travel, and know about all about Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll start working as a teacher, and then he'll work for a number of years, and then he might come back or go somewhere. So Vietnam was one of those places he chose to go to.
Yeah.
So he would have his own kind of reasons for doing that.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Mm. And what about costume? What do you wear in Vietnam if you are going to a wedding?
In Vietnam, a female would wear something called an áo dài.
Yeah.
I'll try and describe it. It's kind of like a shirt.
I should have told this question before so that you could have come dressed in that
I don't
costume.
Actually have one.
Okay.
I don't actually have one.
That's another thing you can add to your list.
Yeah, okay then,
we
can do that. So an áo dài is like a long shirt. It's quite fitted and structured, and it has two splits probably from your hips that go all the way down, and it reaches right to the ground, and then there's just a pair of pants underneath, and then the straw hat, those áo dài's are for the females, and for the males, they can wear that as well, but their shirt will just be a little bit shorter, and then, like in your culture, you can make that so sparkly, you can add whatever you need to it, fabrics and materials that you can get, that's what you would wear to a wedding. More so these days, their weddings, they strive for a more European look.
Oh, yes.
So they want the white dresses and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which is a little bit, I get it, but...
It is kind of sad in a way that we are drifting.
It's more to do with, I think, social media nowadays.
So people
actually watch social media and they're like, I want that.
I think what had happened in our culture was there was a time it happened to us as well. So we're more shifting about Eastern
Western culture.
And then it happened for a while, and then now everything is grievousing, going back.
Yes.
So now those Indians, they're having the same kind of expensive weddings, I would say, but now they're putting more traditional stuff into it. Yes. So they want the decoration to be traditional decoration, and the, whatever costumes we wear now, we are kind of wearing our own traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about festivals, weddings, we are interested to know dance. Do they have a particular dance that they dance during the wedding, or even the bridegroom, and do they have to dance?
Not that I know of in particular.
So all you do is just get drunk and dance?
Oh, mate. The drinking side of there, it's the drinking side's massive in Vietnam. Any reason to drink, if there's football on, they'll be drinking. If it's a Sunday, they'll be drinking. And
You like this. They make alcohol out of cobra snake.
Oh, okay.
and really gnarly stuff. And then when you're hungover, you take another shot fermented.
Yeah,
we went to this place, and in the jar, like clear jar, they had snake in there, filled. And I was looking at, like, why is that? And they're like, it's alcohol. They're making alcohol out of it. So they catch the snake and then they put it in there.
We do see a documentary where even kids, they go out hunting for cobras and snakes, and I don't know how do they do, but it's them. I'll just leave it there. I'm not sure how many minutes we have, but the other thing I wanted to talk about was transport. Is it, it's like train a big thing over there?
What was it,
the train, the way people travel in Vietnam?
Long distance train, but from city to city, it'd be more bus.
Yep.
But then it's just motorbikes.
Motorbikes.
Yeah.
So everybody has to own a motorbike.
Yeah. Yep. And they'll have charter buses, which might be what we would have, maybe a 20-seater charter bus that you will just hire for the day. You get the driver with it and they just take you wherever you need to go. Mm. So no shuttles or anything like that.
But you have the normal kind of bus running for the people over there.
Yes. Yeah.
I see. And, So Sahil says that the time's up, and over here we must listen to Sahil, otherwise we'll go over time with the time and place video, and then we won't be coming back. So, no, thank you, Nan. It was very exciting and interesting talking to you. We actually learned a lot about Vietnam, and next time when we go, then, we will remember you if we ever go to Vietnam.
It has
been nice having you. So thank you so much, and anything that you want to say, 30 seconds and then we'll switch over.
I've been told by my boys that I have to give a shout out to Nico and Rocco, and they've asked me to say other things that I'm not sure about, so I won't say that. But thank you for your support, Johnny, Nico and Rocco. And again, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. That was Nan talking to us about Vietnam, born in New Zealand, a Kiwi, but having this strong connection to Vietnam. So thank you so much. And now we will be closing today with a final song by Sahil. And thank you everybody who has supported us, always been watching us on this Facebook Live, and plus everybody who's listening to Frequency. Thank you, people. And switching to Hindi. Take care. Shubhratri sabhi ko. Hum isi tarah fir milenge next Saturday. Aur samay samay se hum videos pe aate rahenge. Hamara jo talent series chal raha hai, wo bhi hum dikhate rahenge. Aur FIFA ka kuch update hoga Sahil ki taraf se, wo bhi hum karenge. But today we are just running out of time. So we will close up over here, but hum fir aapke saath mein kisi din aur fir jud jayenge. To shubh ratri sabhi ko, enjoy your Saturday. Welcome to Java, I am not about any other player. Tell it, give me just a 1 minute challenge. You make it difficult, then you will see that I am true sayer. Tak tak tak.
Mera mein teri kare utte mardani.